Well, good morning, everybody. It's a great blessing for me to come and bring you the good news from Ephesians chapter 1. We are talking about spiritual blessings that we have received in Jesus, and we've spoken about that for several Sundays. And today we are talking about the last message of the last blessing, which would be then the inheritance that God has given us. What is this inheritance that God has given us? We're going to talk about the dispensation of the fullness of times. And we have to understand what that means in order to understand what we have inherited as believers in Jesus. And also, we need to look at this, and I've really battled with how I'm going to present this today, in order for us to understand the rest of Ephesians. The rest of Ephesians is basically, it pivots on this point that we are going to discuss. And I think that as you understand this and what the fullness of time is and what your inheritance is in Christ as a believer in Jesus in the earth today, it can shape your life. It can give you a completely different view as pertaining to your calling, if you want to call it that, or just your purpose in the earth as you are living in this earth, what God has come to bring to you and how things work in this world. So one of the spiritual blessings that we are receiving, as I've said, is inheritance. And this inheritance that we've received is all connected to the fullness of time. So let us just read Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 8. It says, "Wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." And then verse 11, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard of the word of the truth of the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you have believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Now, when we read these verses, it is truly complex. It sounds complex. It's not easy. If you take somebody in primary school and you tell him, listen, even in high school, even in a university, read this and explain to me what's going on there, you'll find that he's found some difficulty. It's not as easy as what it seems. There is some complex things there, because what he mentions here, for instance, is the fullness of times. And let me read that again in verse 10. I'm going to read verse 9 again. He says, "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he has purposed in himself." So there was a mystery about the will of God that he then made known unto certain people. And that was in accordance with what he has purposed in himself. So already just there, it sounds very, very complicated. And then going over into verse 10, he says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together all things in Christ. So talking about a dispensation of the fullness of time. And our understanding of dispensation is an era. You know, there's an era of the fullness of time. And most of the time when we think of the dispensation of the fullness of time, we are thinking of the day Jesus returns. Now, you know, and then from there we look at a place where the fullness of time has not happened and we are waiting for something in the future. We don't know how to handle ourselves until this time. And then there will be a unification between heaven and earth in the last day. You know, and certain things will manifest in that day. And it puts us and puts Christianity to a certain degree in a place of a strange mysticism. We don't know how to live in this world because we've got these complex ideas. Now, I'm going to try to the best of my ability to minister this in as simple way as possible. When we think of the fullness of times, we should not think of it outside of the rule of Jesus. That is all that it is. The fullness of time, talk about the rule of Jesus. It marks the reign of God's kingdom. The kingdom operates under that rule that will bring about the complete realization of heaven on earth according to God's actions. So when we think of the fullness of time, we're thinking of prophecies that has prophesied unto what God always wanted. And all these prophecies prophesied unto the coming of Jesus. That coming of Jesus, talking about his first coming, talking about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. That is what it all talks about. Now, I want to read that in Ephesians 1:10 just again, and then we quickly go into Daniel. It says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together all things in one in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, that fullness of time is mentioned in Daniel 2:44. It says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and his kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break into pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So Daniel prophesies about this fullness of time, or when a kingdom will come that cannot be shaken and cannot be broken. Now, guess what? Jesus Christ in Mark 1:14 went about and he preached and he said that the kingdom that cannot be shaken and cannot be broken is now at hand. And he was simply saying that this rule of heaven has now come, of which God was prophesying through the prophets all the time. And it has now happened. That kingdom is now inaugurated. The whole rule of death is ending, and a person that can live forever is now being brought forth, and that rule of life is now being brought to this earth. And that is the eternal kingdom that has come to the earth. And that is what is talked about and understood by Paul as the fullness of time. Now, this fullness of time, this rule that has come to the earth, which now is in the fullness of time. And remember, Jesus Christ was also crucified, and he came and died for our sins in the fullness of time. The scripture clearly states, if you read Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, if I'm not mistaken. So Jesus came in the fullness of time. Paul said Jesus came in the fullness of time. So the fullness of time is now. It's not something that we wait for. It is the time period that was always prophesied about. So when we think of the fullness of time, we should think of a prophecy, time, and then the fulfillment of what was prophesied. And that is what we are walking in today. Now, this fullness of time, this kingdom of God that has come to the earth has got a beginning in what it will accomplish, and then it will have the culmination, the fullness of what it can and will accomplish in the earth. The beginning of this kingdom was the sowing of the seed of the life of the man Jesus, which was simply just one little seed that was sown, and it was then raised up to bring forth the full manifestation of heaven on earth. Now, why do I say this? I say this because I find so many Christians today are so caught up in end time prophecies. They are so caught up in who is the Antichrist, who is the man of wickedness. They're so caught up with wars and rumors of wars. They're so caught up with who's the next president, and then interpret texts in Daniel, texts in the New Testament, so out of context, waiting for the fullness of time to come and waiting for evil to take over the earth and destruction to take over the earth, as if the kingdom of God is not here. And what I then see is great anxiety in the heart of so many believers. You know, when we prophesy and when all these prophecies go out on YouTube and on many TV stations about the end times and aliens and who knows what, I find the people that are scared is not the unbeliever. He doesn't care. The people that are prepping, the people that are hiding food in bunkers, the people that are so scared of the end times and knowing the end times is on them, gathering hundreds and hundreds of guns and so forth, living in fear, are the believers, the Christians. And that is not supposed to be like that. And when we think of what the Apostle Paul was writing here, we are seeing that the fullness of time is now already at hand. Because the fullness of time was prophesied in Daniel. It was a message that the eternal rule of the kingdom will be in this earth. And I think where most of the people misunderstood it was they thought that it will just be in 1 second and it's all and done. But the way it happened was different than what people thought. The way it happened was it happened along the lines of leaven that is put into dough. And just a little leaven is used and then it floods everything. And that is what happened with Jesus. That's why Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven, the rule of life has now come. This is the fullness of time. Now, let us read verse 10 again. I think with that said, I'm going to read from verse 8. It says, Wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to good pleasure of him that has purposed everything in himself. Now, talking about this purposing, giving everything in himself, we can refer to Ephesians 3 verse 2 to 7, and I'm reading. If you have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which was given unto me, you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but has now been revealed unto us, his apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, now he's talking about the mystery and he's talking about the dispensation, the dispensation of grace, the dispensation of the fullness of time. This is the dispensation of the fullness of time. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise of Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister. So he was now made a minister of the dispensation of grace, which is the dispensation of the fullness of time, which was the administration wherein it is said that the kingdom of God is now administered in this earth, whereby the Gentiles are partakers of what God is doing. Now, it sounds so much different than this fear-mongering kingdom of the end of the world prophecies and scriptures that people twist out of context. We find here that the dispensation of the fullness of time is simply the time when the rule of Jesus or the rule of God starts to take place in the earth, when the rule of death, which was through the disobedience of Adam, is ending, and where another rule comes, where life enters into this planet. And once that took place, what Paul said is something happened that we never thought. We always thought that the message would only be through the Jews unto the rest of the world. But now we find that Gentiles has been included in this body, through which this ministration of life is administered into the whole world. That is what it's about. That is the simplicity of it. It takes the sting of fear out of the whole thing. It makes sense of what God has done for us in Jesus. So it says that he has basically made the mystery known unto Paul, and he preached this mystery. And this mystery is that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together all things in Christ. So he's saying the dispensation of the fullness of time, and we're going to look at what that word dispensation truly mean, but in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that the following can take place, that Jew and Gentile can be included, both of them. So are we in that? Yes, that is where we already are. So we can basically say, and this is the thing where it can boggle the mind a little bit, and that is, you know, we've always waited for something to happen one day. But what we find is that what will happen one day has started. And the way it started is it has brought life into this earth. And the end of this rule will be the full manifestation of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Now, I want to look at the word dispensation. The word dispensation in Ephesians chapter 1 means the following. The term dispensation is translated from the Greek word oikonomia, where we get the word economy from, which can be rendered as an administration or a stewardship or a economy. The term is derived from oikos, which means house, and nomos, which means law, implying a management or an arrangement of a household of affairs. So when you talk about the dispensation, what Paul is saying when he says dispensation, he's not thinking of an era of time. He's talking about an administration, basically something that was laid upon him to do. So when he says the dispensation of the fullness of time has come, he's saying that I've upon my shoulders has been laid that I should now declare that the fullness of time is now here. That is what the dispensation means. We've translated dispensation as an era, but it doesn't mean era. I looked up and studied out what this would have meant for people of that day. The typical reader of that time, talking about Jesus' time or Paul's time, whether Greek or Jew, the word for dispensation would likely have conveyed the idea of a management or a stewardship or an administration. So when he says that, you know, the dispensation of the fullness of time has come, what Paul is saying, the stewardship of the fullness of time has now come. And I am a wise steward of this. That's why I am preaching unto you that the fullness of time, that which was prophesied by Daniel, which God has said that an end to the rule of death will come to the earth, and life has now entered into this earth, that it has now come. And what that would conclude is that the rule of life is for Jews as well as for Gentiles. Nobody is excluded. And that this ministration or this administration or this stewardship, the best word for it is stewardship, that this stewardship of this end of the age, as it was laid upon me and laid upon the first believers in Jesus to go and preach it to the world and bring it to the world, has now brought forth a brand new life in the life of the Gentiles. And now Paul goes on for the rest of Ephesians. That's basically what the rest of Ephesians is about, to explain to them what the stewardship is all about, what it means to live as someone unto whom the stewardship has been given of this beautiful revelation that the end of time, the rule of life, has now come to the earth. Now, you know, as I share this, and this morning even, as Leon and I, we were sitting talking about the message today, I said, you know, the typical person that would watch a message on YouTube want to watch a message that encourages him for the week, wherein he feels he's loved and he's accepted and his sins is not put before him, where he can feel an ease from condemnation and guilt, and where he can also feel he's not really responsible for a lot of things and that the responsibility is upon Jesus, where he can be assured that God loves him and that God looks favorably upon him. Now, that is wonderful and good. And I do think, and I don't want to play it down, I've ministered on that for many years, and I will minister on that for the rest of my ministry while I am alive, because that is of such importance, because it brings true life to us. Yet, on the other side, we have to look at what the Apostle Paul has written, because, as I've said in the Bible study on Thursday as well, this text that I'm reading here, which sounds very complex, which to a certain degree is complex, was what was preserved by the preservation of God, meaning it is important for the church to know. You know, this morning I put a a text on WhatsApp or Facebook where it says, in your light, I see the light. With you is basically eternal life. In your light, we see the light. That is something that encourages people. It's something beautiful. It's like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Things like God doesn't look at your sin, you know, but by his righteousness, you will have the fullness of life. Those are very encouraging things. Yet I find that as we understand these texts in its how complex it might be, we find that the beauty of the simplicity is understood in what it brings forth in our lives and how that life look in everyday life. And that is what this whole of Ephesians is actually all about. You know, 2 weeks ago, I was really seeing this. And for 2 weeks, I've been really thinking along these lines and saying, Lord, you know, how will I minister this to the church today? How will I bring it across? But I trust that as you listen to this, that you will just simply spend a little bit time in prayer and that you would listen to this maybe one or two times during the week, if you have time for that, and simply understand what is going on here. Because from now on, and this is what I said to Helena, if I don't bring this to you, this little bit of a change on what the end, what we would call end times or the fullness of time mean, what the economy would mean, and that this dispensation simply means that a stewardship was put on the shoulders of Paul. And what Paul is now saying is for the rest of Ephesians, explaining what the stewardship looks like for the church. I said to Elena, I would not feel that I'm doing the text justice if I continue to preach in Ephesians without preaching the true context of that text. How difficult it might seem, because we don't want to hear that there is a stewardship of this. Now, the moment we hear stewardship, we feel, oh, I'm going to work myself off to death and now the kingdom of God depends upon me. No, the stewardship is simply revealed in Matthew 28:19, where it says, go into all the world and preach to them and tell them that the kingdom of God and all authority has now been given unto Jesus, and whosoever believe can have life. That is the stewardship, that we are ministering and saying it is not by the works of the law, that it is not by our own abilities, that we can get rid of idol worship, that the rule of life has come, so that people can hear and know that the way they relate to God is through the loving action of God in Jesus Christ. If we don't understand this verse 10, 11, 12 in Ephesians 1, we cannot understand chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. It's just impossible. You cannot understand it in its true context. You cannot understand what Paul was writing. So let me just read it again. Paul is saying that we're talking about spiritual blessings, that one of the spiritual blessings that was received is that we are heirs. We've inherited. We've got an inheritance. And in order to understand inheritance, we have to understand what he talks about when he talks about the dispensation of the fullness of time. So when he talks about the dispensation of the fullness of time, he simply says the stewardship, that the fullness of time has happened, that the last kingdom or the eternal, not the lost, the eternal kingdom that will never end has started, has now been laid upon us. And this stewardship is that, is ministered that we can see Jew and Gentile gathered together in the gospel. And so all have the life of God. Amen. Now it says here that in Jesus, we have obtained an inheritance. What is this inheritance? This is the spiritual blessing. This is now getting to the crux of the matter. We've obtained an inheritance. We've obtained a spiritual blessing that we've been blessed with. What is the spiritual blessing? in whom we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His will, that we should be to the praise of the glory of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Okay, what is He saying? He's saying this. He says, listen, I've got very good news for you. Starting in verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And one of the blessings that we have is we have an inheritance. This inheritance, what we've inherited, is on account of the fullness of time that has now taken place, and where we, as the church, especially Paul referring to the first apostles that received the gospel and some of the prophets, bringing the message that the eternal kingdom is now here, and that we, as those who have believed the fact that the eternal kingdom is now here and started its work, we've obtained an inheritance. And what we have obtained and what we have inherited is that we should be to the praise of His glory. So what have we inherited? We've inherited this stewardship of the kingdom, wherein we, as we are, as the kingdom of God is shown in us, is a light to other people. That is what it means. You know, I want to say this. In the message of grace, I want you to look at my life. The gospel of grace has not empowered me to be or to be in a place of apathy, but it's empowered me to preach the gospel, to be at a place where I find I want to preach more and more and more and share my life with more and more people. It has not brought me to a place, and me and Elena to a place where we are saying we're sitting back. It's empowered us to be, and this is what we have, we are partakers of. We've got a spiritual blessing, and that is that we've got an inheritance. And what we've inherited from God is that He will display in us the beautiful message that the age the end of the worldly system and the rule of God's life, the fullness of time is here. It's put on display in us, in our lives, in how we live, in what we say, and in what we do. And that is what we have inherited. Now, so many times when we hear of a stewardship that we've inherited, we immediately think of our own power, what we must bring forth. No, what we've inherited is that as God has taken Israel to put on display what He wants for the rest of the world, and that He would bring it forth by His power, in the very same way, we as the church, we as believers in Jesus Christ, we have received an inheritance. And that inheritance is that we would be a display window, wherein God shows life to the rest of the world. Let me read it again. It says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of the glory of His glory who first trusted in Him. Then verse 13, in whom you also trusted. So Paul says that we as believers, now he's referring to just a few people, maybe the 12, the 11 disciples, or the 12 that was there first, himself and a few others, and that this kingdom and this revelation that the Gentiles are included was given unto them. And now they have been preordained from before time that God would bring forth in a few people the revelation of what He always wanted. They would then be empowered by God as a holy people that love all people, that love Jew and Gentile, that have an enlightened mind, that can see what God is bringing forth, so that they can be, as verse 12 says, to the praise of the glory of what God has done in Jesus. That's what verse 12 says, that we should be to the praise of the glory who first trusted in Christ. And then he says, now we are, as the apostles, to the praise of the glory of Christ. And because we first believed, and now you also believe. You've also now trusted in Him. And now that you've trusted in Him, since you have trusted in this gospel of your salvation, I want to now introduce to you that as what we, as the early church, I want to use that term, has been glorified with a life that was greater than this world, than was greater than the fears of this world. You now, as the Gentiles that have believed, you've come to also trust in Him. And now you are also sharing in this inheritance that you should be, by the work of God, be made as unto the praise of His glory, since you've trusted. And then, as God puts on display His life in you by His power and His goodness, we'll find others also believe. We need to understand that the way God does things is only through His power and His power in people. That is how it works. Sadly, for many years, the church has been bombarded with a message that God has worked and now we must work. That's not how it works. God does work in a partnership with people in this sense, that He says, I will come and bring you life, and then the life that I bring you, by the life I bring you, I will also touch other people. Yet it is amalgamation of heaven and earth. And that is where we stand today. That is why I'm preaching this message today. As you sit here, as you see, a TV studio came forth, there were people in whom God has worked and He has brought forth His life inside them. They are to the praise of His glory. They donated finances to see that this is built. Then we found people that God has gifted to help to make these things work. And wherein God, actually, that would be the wrong thing word to say. He has brought forth people in assistance of this ministry wherein God makes the thing work and brings forth life. And so I'm sitting here preaching the gospel. And this is what it is about when God has made us to be to the praise of the glory of His grace. That word glory means the rule of His life-preserving power. So, if God comes and He brings forth the rule of His life-preserving power in me, it would be to the praise of God, as that which has happened in us is now ministered and lived towards people in the rest of the world. Just to give you an example, just yesterday, we've had a funeral or a memorial service here at our home for somebody in our church's mother who has passed away. The way it worked from the beginning was like this. And you all know the testimony of the house that we received when we moved to Malmesbury. Now, this house that we received, that a friend of ours purchased, now, what is the eiendomsagent? What's the eiendomsagent? Well, the people that sell houses. I forgot the English for that now. Well, she came and said to Helena, you must just meet the lady from whom you bought the house. And then when Helena went to their house, she realized, but she was in the same, is it dormitory or whatever, when she was in university with her. And it's an old friend. And we just, as this friendship just developed and picked up again, shared the good news with them. And I remember I went to their house and I shared good news, or they came to one of the services and they heard the gospel of grace and their lives changed. And then this lady went and she spoke to her mom. She spoke to her father. And it wasn't just in one day evangelizing. It was just as what a daughter would speak to a mom and so forth. And so they got into the gospel of grace. And what happened there is the dispensation of the grace of God has been given unto her. It means the stewardship of what God has done for free in Jesus was laid upon her. How? By the grace of God. And she testified to her mother. She testified to her father. Uncle Butch came here yesterday, his wife that passed away, and you could just see that he could never again ever listened to any other message but the gospel of grace. And so she was speaking to people over 15 years of this message, sharing some of my messages here and there. And when people, when she wouldn't feel comfortable with that, she'll maybe share a message of Joseph Prince or, and so forth, and testify. And then when the funeral was here, this place, we had about 40 people here, and I ministered the gospel of grace. And the people were so deeply touched by that message. I've had several people come more than three times to me saying, I want to just thank you. I've never heard such a message in all my life. This changes my life. It is absolutely eye-opening because I spoke about the grace of God, how God's not angry and how he didn't need the blood of Jesus to heal his own heart on account of the disobedience of Adam, and that blood and death and resurrection, all of that was actually to save his people that were lost, and talking about his heart that was torn open and compassion towards man that's lost and how he's come to heal and so forth. And you could see people truly being touched. And more than touched, I could see change happening to people's lives. Now, when we think of the stewardship and we're thinking of how it all works and what I'm talking about here, what Paul talks about, where the stewardship of the fullness of time is now being laid upon us because we have now inherited this kingdom. And that inheritance here talks about stewards of this kingdom, where we are now declaring the economy of God, which is the power of the resurrection. As in a 15-year, 16-year period of time in Malmesbury, it has touched several people through this one lady and her husband. In the very same way, we today are at a place where we are to the praise of the glory of his grace, us who first trusted in him, and then others also trust in him. So one could see in this lady's life, Tanya and her husband Tarsius, the glory, they are to the praise of his glory. What is his glory? It is his rulership, his rule of life. They are to the praise of his rule of life. And they trusted in the Lord when Helena and I were to the praise of the glory of the rule of the life-preserving power of God, which is called grace. And so we find people being deeply impacted and that they are truly changed. I want to encourage you that when you think of the dispensation of the fullness of time, I want you to know that the dispensation of the fullness of time is the stewardship of telling people that the rule of life has now come. And that this rule of life that has now come has started as a simple seed where a man died and was raised, and he is the firstborn amongst many brethren. Where in our eyes is not anymore on the Antichrist and the bad that happens in the world, but we focus on the love and the life that there is in Jesus Christ. I want to read Galatians 4, verse 3 to 5, talking a little bit about this dispensation, and I think that'll be good to end off with this. I'm first reading Ephesians 1, 10 again, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, or simply the stewardship, that the fullness of time has come, he might gather together all in one in Christ, both which are in heaven and in earth, even in him. So what he's saying is, as we are ministers of the message of the goodness that life has come, he gathers together everything in the rule of the Christ. He's bringing heaven to earth and he's uniting Jew and Gentile, bringing life to this earth. That is explained in Galatians 4, verse 3 to 5. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of this world. But when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Here the word dispensation refers to God's plan or administration for the fullness of times, which is to unite all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and on earth. Paul goes on in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 2. He says, if you've heard of the dispensation, the administration of grace that has been given unto me. You know, the fullness of time simply talks about grace. Talks about the life-preserving power of God that has come to this earth. We are not living in fear. We are living in the knowledge that what God had for us has come to this earth. This administration has been given to the apostles. And then as this administration has been given to them, as all spiritual blessings has been given to them, as we find that they lived knowing that they've got the forgiveness of sins, knowing that they have all those gifts, that they are sons, they are not rejected, they are the ones that are loved, that which is eternal, that cannot pass away, has come upon them. Whereas they have believed that, you know what was the effect of that? That the Gentiles in Ephesus also believed that. And that their lives were changed. And so it was filling the whole earth. And that is where it is with you. So I want to say to you, as the grace of God shapes your life, be it in simply talking to your mom, sharing with your dad, as we now have the stewardship, that stewardship, please don't see it as that we must make it work. See it that we are stewards of simply testifying to this fullness that has come, the fullness of time. As we are those stewards, we find that we are part of the greater scheme of things. As you are involved in just being kind to someone, being generous, being part, those of you that are supporting this ministry for so many years, as you are part of that, it is part of being to the glory of the grace of God, being to the bright shining of the rule of God that has preserved your life and brought forth who He is in you. And as we are this body of the Christ manifesting in the earth, we find the fullness of God touching people all over the world. Amen and amen. Well, I would like for you to go and listen to this message again. And then next week, I will continue to preach along these lines as we go through the rest of Ephesians. Thank you so much that you've slotted in. I would just like to use this opportunity to pray for people. Father, I want to thank you for your love and your grace. I want to thank you for the goodness and the kindness that you have towards us. I want to thank you, Lord, as I stretch forth my hand towards these people, that no one of them would ever feel that they are disqualified and not good enough. I thank you, Lord, that they will know that you have chosen them and predestined them from before time to be to the glory of your grace. Lord, you have put upon them the stewardship, the message, the manifestation, the showing, the declaration that the time of God's life has come to the earth. And you have decided that the way that will manifest is not by their power and their willpower, but by your Spirit bringing forth a new life in them. It's not about our works, but about your work that works in us. I declare them blessed. Father, I want to pray especially for people this morning that are suffering with forms of depression and negativity that grabs a hold of their mind. You know, as I bring this before you, Lord, I thank you that you inspire me to speak a word to them as you are putting it in my heart right now and in my mind. I feel I want to say to everyone that struggles with some form of a depression, I want to say to you, don't believe the lie that depression has got more authority than the rule of God in your life. You are a free person. Your life belongs to God. Your life does not belong to your anxieties. And you are not bound by that forever. That which you experience, and I truly feel an unction from the Lord to say this, that which you experience is temporal. It is not eternal. It is temporal, and it is not greater than the rule of life that has come to this earth. And I want to just stretch forth my hands to this camera, but I almost want to say in the spirit, I lay my hands upon your mind, upon the neural paths of your brain, in your heart, and I say to you, that your past has no more bearing on who you are. Yet there is a past that has a bearing on who you are. And that is the past of our Lord Jesus, where the grave is empty and life has come. And I declare to you, to your inner being, to your brain, to your mind, to your understanding, to your emotions, to your own will, I declare to you that you are a free person and that you have the right to start to live today. And I declare you free in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I also want to just thank you that I can stretch forth my hand and pray for sick people. I thank you, Lord, that their sickness gets healed by the power of the resurrection, that in their bodies they can be to the praise of the glory of your grace, as you have predestined them to have an inheritance in this declaration of the kingdom in this earth. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen and amen. Thank you so much that I could have served you. It's so beautiful if I look at the screen to see all your names there and to think of this message going to individuals and families and how it impacts families all over the world. Would like for you to have a wonderful Sunday, and then we will talk again next week. God bless.